Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. The other morning I was doing my yoga, early as I usually do, and I was in my final pose, which is the lotus pose, which I do on a mat in front of the wood stove. By the time I reach this part of my routine, the dogs have finished with their interactive toys and Ollie is pestering me to toss his ball for him. The last thing I do when I'm in the lotus position is to massage both of the dogs and, if he's willing, Bamboo the cat. I always start with Fricka. I don't know why. Probably because she's the one who would come up and throw herself upside down in my lap. She so enjoys having her ears and her head massaged and her feet massaged and her tummy rubbed. So I was sitting on the mat with Fricka upside down in my lap, massaging her. And periodically, Ollie would bring his ball to me. And just to get him out of the way, I would throw the ball into the darkness of the living room. Now, one of the things that's happened this winter is Bam has decided that he doesn't want to be out in the cold. I don't have any trouble with him being in the house, but this is a small house, roughly 20 by 30. And Bam has about a square acre energy level. So he spends a lot of time inside making up games. Some of them pretty funny, others, such as swinging on the ferns, not so funny. At least not to me. But one of his games is to stalk Ollie and spring out at him when he chases his ball in the living room. And that's what he did this particular morning. I threw the ball into the darkness, and then there would be kind of a scurrying, and the two of them would be rolling around. I'd hear them thumping in the living room, and then pretty soon Ollie would come back with the ball again. What I liked about these intervals is they gave me time to massage Fricka undisturbed. And I'm sure Fricka enjoyed that too. But once when I threw the ball, I happened to look up. And when I did, I could see that the cat was sitting on the arm of the chair. Only I couldn't really see the cat because it was dark. But what I did see was the reflection of the light on the kitchen table in the cat's eyes. And because the cat's pupils were fully dilated, and because I didn't have my glasses on and I'm terribly nearsighted, what I saw instead of the cat were two greenish, yellowish, glowing globes, synchronously following that dog. And then when Bam decided he was going to attack, I saw those two globes fly through the air and disappear. When that occurred, the thought, fairies, Tinkerbell, immediately came to my mind. Because remember, that's the way fairies always used to be represented in the old movies and in plays, these little globes of golden light. When I saw that, I could easily understand how the ancient Egyptians could think of cats as gods. They were afraid of the night. They would open their doors on a dark night because they heard something, and the light from behind them would catch the eyes of a cat looking into the house. And the highly reflective tapetum in the back of the retina would just bounce that light back at them. So easy to understand how these night-fearing people would look at those brilliant globes of light and think, sun. This is where the sun goes at night. It doesn't disappear. These wonderful little creatures capture it and they store it in their heads. How wonderful for us that they do that. Oddly enough, by the time the medieval cultures came around and multiple deities fell from grace, human beings were still afraid of the dark and probably even more so. But now, that same characteristic of the cat, along with all the other feline characteristics, its solitary nature, its predatory nature, its sexual nature, its ability to make it on its own. Oh, oh, oh. How the powers that be hated that. So the very same qualities that had the cat elevated to a deity Not that much later in history had the cat demoted to a demon. And that's how it is when you're different. You just never know. Are you going to be adored or are you going to be hated? We humans don't have a very good track record when it comes to dealing with things that are different. Oh, we say we like novel things, but we only like novel things that fit into our definition of normal. And as I said in a previous podcast, our definitions of normal are getting narrower and narrower. But it really doesn't matter to me. I just know that for one brief instant, I had extraordinary beings playing in my living room. I had a funny little dog who dearly loves chasing his ball. I had an equally funny and graceful, athletic, off-the-wall, enchanting cat who loves stalking and pouncing and rolling around with and playing with the dogs. And I had a couple of fairies that sat on the arm of my chair and then flew through the air.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.